My name is Laurentio Howard, LaurentioHoward. I'm here in support of the Chicago police officers out of the school because of the situation that happened to my daughter last year, January 29th, 2019. Laurentio Howard, LaurentioHoward, last name Howard, Howard. I'm here in unison with the Chicago police officers out of the schools with the protesting group behind me. I'm here because my daughter was brutally attacked by two Chicago police officers January 29th, 2019. She was drugged down a flight of stairs. She was tased three times. She was beaten in the face by a female police officer. She was stood on by the male police officer in her chest with his foot. She couldn't breathe. I was told to stand back. She can breathe because she's still talking. And I couldn't intervene. I tried to calm the situation down. I knew that if I would have tried to intervene in the situation, it could have got worse. So I'm here in support of Chicago police out of the schools.
I got you. My name is Rod Wilson, R-O-D-W-I-L-S-O-N. And I'm with the Virginia Burns Hope Center. And we're here today because we want to talk about how our schools need to be reopened safely. Part of that means taking money from the police and putting it to our schools. Why is the criminalization of black and brown youth a priority for the city of Chicago, but educating them is not a priority? We want to come out of this pandemic with new priorities that make our community stronger and better. And the first thing we want to do is invest in our children. So that money needs to come from putting us in jail, come from having police in our schools beating on our children, manhandling our children, and let's put that money into education programs for our children. So that also means removing cops from our schools. And let's not be foolish about this. Yeah, when the mayor talks about empowering LSCs and giving them an opportunity, she's not really talking about empowering them. Empowering them would be meaning to allow them to have access to that money, to say, we don't want the cops in our school, but we want to bring restorative justice. Let's move that money there. We don't want to have cops in our school, but we want to have parent aides who can help with school climate. Let's move that money there. That's what empowering LSCs mean. And so let's move this money from the police, get the cops out of our schools, and let's invest in sustainable community schools. Yeah. Let's invest in programs that brings our community together, help us design our schools to be the community institutions that they were intended to be.
Yeah.
I'm Rod Wilson. Thank you.
Bobby Brown. Woo! No problem. Good school.
Hi, my name is Bobby Brown, B-O-B-B-I-E-B-R-O-W-N. I am a local school counselor at Harper High School. I said no to police in our schools.
That's right.
I don't agree to them being in our schools. Our babies go through enough just by being in the color of their skin. Why should they have to come into a building where everyone's supposed to be learning, but be stereotyped, not entering a building of a school, but the building that wants to predict their future as being incarcerated? The devil is a lie. Our children are more than a conqueror.
Right.
Our children have the right to learn in a school that they don't have to be afraid of police in their school.
Right.
They have a right to learn.
Yes.
And enough is enough. As us being parents, enough is enough allowing people in our school to intimidate our children.
Yes.
We need to have different things in our school for our children. Those are our babies. They need to have counselors. Some of our kids have problems when they come to school, not to be bullied or criticized, or stereotyped because of how they look, or because of what they're going through. We need to change this.
Yes.
So I say no to police in our school.
No.
And they have to go.
No.
Thank you.
Police.
Final speaker.
We say no.
All right. Hi, my name is Alyssa Rodriguez, A-L-Y-S-S-A-R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z, and I am a CPS school social worker. My job is to be proactive. Police are called into situations on a reactive basis. They do not attend something proactively, and my job is to literally do the opposite. I am teaching skills to students ranging from a wide variety of general education students to students with intellectual disabilities that are considered significantly impacting their ability to educate, to be educated. If we are talking about defunding and removing these funds, we need to be talking about how do we empower our schools? How do we empower our social workers? How do we give more to our students who deserve more by saying, these are the way that we can do this. This is the way that we can put something into a school. We can create interventions. We can create the ability to empower our teachers to have trainings to de-escalate, as opposed to saying, hey, I need a police officer to come into my classroom to de-escalate a student. No. We should be empowering our staff to be able to build relationships, as well as being able to notice that the student that may be sleeping all night, hearing a wide variety of sounds, is coming in the morning and is unable to sit nicely, silently, or eat breakfast because they're too scared about what happened the night before. We can't expect our students to ever be able to memorize, learn, or internalize specific academic materials until they're able to sit in a classroom and be able to learn because they feel safe. We need to create schools, and we need to be able to put people in the schools that make our students feel safe.
Yes. No confidence.
Right now, she's still traumatized. I'm still taking her to counseling right now. I don't see a change in her or her behavior or attitude ever since this happened to her. Back then, she wakes up screaming in the middle of the night. She wakes up crying to me, and we talk every day about the situation. And she always asks me, Dad, they were supposed to protect me. Why were they beating me like that? And I just try to keep her calm and try to, you know, keep her in counseling right now, because she will forever be scarred by the abuse that she suffered by the hands of the Chicago police officers. She's 18.
Could you tell me, I'm sorry, I don't know the circumstances, what led up to the incident?
It was over a cell phone. All over a cell phone. She was instructed to put her cell phone away in class. The assistant principal gave me a call and told me to that she's able to, you know, complete her tests in her classroom and everything. And then when she's done with that, come pick her up from school, because she didn't want to give her a cell phone up. So the Chicago police felt the need to intervene with school disciplinary security guards, and actually, and also she has an IEP. She has a disability also. And the police officers didn't know what was going on. They just intervened. And then not only that, they lied. They said my daughter attacked them. And if you all see the tape clearly, the whole tape, you can see the officer pushes my daughter down the stairs.
Yes.
At the end of the stairway, the female police officer is punching my daughter in the face 4 times. And not only that, the guy Pierre, Chicago police officer, tased my daughter 3 times. So yes, she was fighting back. She was fighting back for her life. I mean, people were saying she should have been moving around. No, they're attacking her. And if you all see the video, you will understand that. And then when the officer had his foot in my daughter's chest, I'm standing right there. I can't do anything about it. I'm standing there. I'm telling the officer she can't breathe. He's telling me she can breathe because she's still talking. It's not an acceptable answer to me. It's not acceptable at all. It was uncalled for.
Thanks for the question. Look, let's be clear. Schools are not correctional facilities. Schools are places where kids have the opportunity to make mistakes and not be penalized for the rest of their lives. Listen, the research shows very clearly that police officers in schools quicken a student's involvement in the school-to-prison pipeline. The schools that we want in Chicago, for children who are black, for children who are brown, for all children, are schools that offer a full course of class offerings, are schools that have nurses, social workers, and counselors. The question, Craig, quite frankly, presupposes that many of our students come into school buildings with criminal behavior, when that is quite the contrary. We live in a city where there was over 100 shootings in 3 days. 100. Many of our students are coming into our school communities dealing with traumatic situations that persist in their neighborhoods and do not have outlets. So at Marshall High School, where this incident happened, we do not have a full course load for students to take. We do not have a social worker full time. We do not have a nurse or a librarian. Those things matter. We are not giving our children the capacity to grow, to develop, to make mistakes. Calling in the police officers quicken the experiences that our young people have with law enforcement over time. We don't want that. And those, and 50% of those school shootings, cops were in the school. Let me say two things. Number one, there is a phone in every school that dials 911. There are police that patrol the neighborhoods where every school is located. Those things still work. And let me also make clear, every school has at least one security guard, maybe multiple ones. So those facts must be on the record. Beyond that, Craig, we have to get to the point of where we don't see black children as criminals.
That's right.
We have to see black children like we see white children in this world. So let me say this, and I'm gonna call Rod up here because he works with many LSCs. That is a disingenuous assertion. And let me tell you why. Number one, LSCs that serve in predominantly black communities have traditionally been regulated to advisory local school councils, meaning that they don't get to have a vote. So that's number one. Number two, local school councils do not have the ability to cancel contracts with the Chicago Police Department. The contract with the Chicago Police Department is with the Chicago Public Schools. LSCs have long fought against student-based budgeting. They fought against the dismantling of special education services. They have fought against the racist school rating policies, and they've never been given the ability to vote on those. So to say that they have the ability to vote on something that they do not is disingenuous at best. Beyond that, we have to get to the point of where we're talking about an elected representative school board again. 90% of Chicagoans have voted twice and said, we need an elected representative school board. And then beyond that, you have young people all across this country, and particularly here in Chicago, who have said clearly what they need to be safe. Our job, I'm a high school history teacher and I'm a mother of three children in the Chicago Public Schools. If I am not listening to the individual in the school space and providing them with what they need, then I'm not doing my job as an educator. I am not doing my job as a parent. And I'm gonna quote a young lady who I heard last week. She says, if you are afraid to work with me, perhaps you should be doing something else.
That's right. No cops in our school.
And Stacy hit the point. LSCs have a particular role within the school, and they don't have the power to cancel contracts with CPD, with CPS. But let's be clear, though. If the mayor really wants to empower LSCs, let them control the purse strings. Let them control those funds that's bringing those officers to our schools. So they can say, no, we don't want that, but we want this. That's how you empower LSCs. That's giving them a real choice. Not just saying you can say yes or no, but you have no real power over it anyway. But give them an honest choice, though. Let them control, because if I'm on an LSC and I may be worried about school climate, I may not want an officer. But if I can use those monies for restorative justice or before bringing parent aid, give me the chance to decide for myself, not give me a bogus choice that I have, and I can't control the funds. It's not genuine. It's like you said, it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you my own personal experience. I have three children. My girls go to one CPS school and my son goes to another. My son's school has a cop and it has security. My daughter's school only has security. So by the information we get from CPS and the mayor, they are saying if cops are not in school, it's unsafe. So are you telling me today that the school my daughters attend that does not have a police officer is unsafe? Every school has security there, right? Listen, we're about to go back to, the governor released information yesterday that says that we can go back to our school communities. And in many of our school communities, we will go back in the middle of a global pandemic where we are seeing things spike around the country, right? Cases spike around the country. We're going back without nurses being in every single school building in a global pandemic. So if we're concerned about safety, let's talk about what we need to keep students safe once they are required to go back to a school community. We don't know what types of policies or rules will be set forth for students who are medically fragile, for workers in the Chicago public schools who have compromised immune systems. Listen, this is what I'm saying about the priorities of the Chicago public schools continuously being upside down. We should not be arguing about a $33 million contract for cops. What we should be doing very clearly in this moment is shifting that $33 million contract into services that allow our school communities to be safe in the middle of a global pandemic. Yes. We know that Latinx communities and Black communities have been hurt particularly hard by COVID-19. We have entire school communities where students have lost grandparents, where students have lost aunts and uncles, and even parents in some cases. And there is no rush to shift $33 million to make sure that traumatic services are available. Just think, if last weekend happened during the middle of the school year, the Chicago Public Schools only has four traumatic counselors, and two of those positions are currently vacant. Let me say that again. When something traumatic happens in the city or in our school communities, the Chicago Public Schools only has four traumatic counselors that could go and provide service. That means that two are currently open. Our priorities are mixed up. We have to begin to see the children of Chicago Public Schools as children. You have a global movement reprioritizing that Black lives matter. And they just don't matter when policemen are involved. They also matter when they need health care. They also matter because they need housing. They also matter because they need public transportation. They also matter across the board. I want us to move from always fighting about the over-policing, the over-incarceration of Black bodies, and move towards making sure that their parents have full employment that provide health care, making sure that their parents live in communities where it is affordable. We have to get past this trope of Black criminality, and we have to start investing in our students. That's it. Right. I thank you all for being here.